This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Brady's back. Back again. Guess who's back? Tell a friend. The question is, does that mean everything's all kumbaya, sunshine and roses? Or there's still problems in Tampa Bay? It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Braden Gall, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. And look, Braden and I are not particularly like, if you're ever at a party and you want two guys that are going to walk across the hot coals to give you fiery takes, that's not what Braden and I usually are doing. We're not here spitting fire. So I'm trying to be reasonable, Braden, as we try and figure out what all this means for Tom Brady. But I don't know. Like, that's the real answer to this is, like, we have the weirdest situation where a quarterback in the middle of camp has gone away in what may or may not have been an excused absence with no idea of when he would actually come back. Now we know it's this morning. He may or may not be practicing. We don't know when he's going to come back into the fold, what was talked about before, what he was up to, or what anybody's plan was. And to your point that you've said, I think we got to reiterate, until somebody actually says anything of substance, we're all going to sit here speculating, because if nobody's speaking, then it's natural for us to try and just figure it out.
Yeah, and that's kind of the job, right? Like, okay, if we don't know, then what's happening? Let's have some fun with it. And then we start joking about less serious stuff like jury duty or, you know, again, I would, as a new father of a kindergartner who just went to school, like, if I was Tom Brady, I'd need a week off to deal with the pickup line. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what, parents picking up their kids at school? This is my first foray into that.
Is there a system to that? Like,
it's complete chaos. It is complete chaos. It is every man for themselves, complete chaos. I'm assuming this is actually why Tom Brady came out of retirement. Like, he was in retirement, and he was, like, picking up, he was waiting in the pickup line for, like, the kids, and he's like, why am I sitting here for 45 minutes? Why are there three accidents? I'm going back to football. I'd rather be hit in the face by a defensive lineman, like, than do this. It's so insane. But again, like, that's all the fun, jokey stuff that we get to do because we don't know what's going on. If it's, and some of it, again, I struggle with this, Fitzy, because it's not our business. If it's a real serious issue within the family, I don't think that that's our business, even if it is Tom Brady. So the question that is our business and Tampa Bay Bucks fans' business is how is it going to affect him throughout the course of the season? I would guess that the practice time is not relevant to him. I would guess it's not that big a deal that he missed a week. I'm still more concerned about the offensive line and the aging weapons and all that other stuff. The question is mentally, can, if it is serious and it lasts all season or even a month or two, I trust Brady to compartmentalize, but it doesn't mean that he's able to. Like, there's a human side to all of this if it's that serious.
So Braden does awesome work in Nashville, and Braden, you were at practice this week. So I don't know why this is just dawning on me, because you saw practice. You know what went down. The real question is, what did Brady actually miss? Like, did they do things that you saw in practice that you thought were specifically geared towards something that would have helped the timing or development of the offensive line with Brady or the receivers with Brady, or was it all just individual?
There's a lot of team. They did a ton of team drills, a lot of two-minute drills, a lot of red zone work, full team on, you know, offense, defense on both sides of the ball for both the Titans and the Bucks. And it was great. It was a great week of practice. Like, both days were really, really good. They got in a fight at the very end of the second day of practice where Leonard Fournette basically ran up and swung on Jeffrey Simmons, which, again, the dumbest thing in all of sports, Fitzy, is somebody trying to punch someone wearing a helmet, but that's another story for another show. But I don't think Brady would have benefited at all, to be honest with you, because Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask took snaps, but their offensive line was destroyed most of those 2 days and didn't play well in the game on Saturday. The Titans' defensive line dominated. And so I don't think, like, you can't hit Brady, obviously. I don't know if he would have benefited at all. No Evans, no Godwin, no Julio Jones was out there barely. I don't know what he would have gained, to be honest with you. It's a great joint practice for the younger players, but I don't think Brady and those guys would have gained much because, again, I think the Titans' defense dominated. It would have been an ugly practice for Tom Brady, and I'm not sure he benefits.
There's a spot there where what I love is the expertise on, you know, standing around watching it, and I think you get a better sense of what they're trying to accomplish. This is rarely about Tom. I think we can all say that Tom's going to be just fine. It's about everybody else and sort of what they're trying to accomplish together. But that being said, even Harry Douglas, our buddy on ESPN Radio, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, was clear that, you know, whatever Brady wants to do, he gets to do.
after Keyshawn won his Super Bowl there, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been irrelevant until Tom Brady showed up within that organization and won that organization a Super Bowl. So if Tom Brady wants to go film The Masked Singer, the hell be it. I'm fine with Tom Brady going to film The Masked Singer, even if I'm his teammate, because I know we have a Super Bowl chance when he's our quarterback.
I mean, that's the easy part of it from the standpoint of Harry Douglas. Now, Harry Douglas was very successful and knows a lot. He'll forget more football than most of us will know, right? I think, though, we're a little bit masking the impact practice has on everybody else. That's the only thing that I just keep thinking. Like, is Tom Brady going to be fine? Yes. But if there's no value to it at all, then why is he there in any capacity? Like, there still has to be some value to being around practice.
Yes, there absolutely is. So that's the wrong choice of words. Like, not a lot of value. Because, again, if your offensive line is just getting beat and you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, like, what are you actually working on? Like, imagine a quarterback standing back there and just the whistle's blowing all the time, right? And then you're throwing it after the fact to try to test out this or that. Like, he would not have had his weapons. He and Mike Vrabel, by the way, the head coach of the Titans, know each other extremely well. They've practiced joint practice each of the last 2 years, now 3 years in a row. They've had fights in both of those last two practices 2 years ago here and then last year in Tampa. I think it was one of those where it's like, look, we're not going to get a whole lot out of the because, again, the receivers weren't there. All the guys he would have been throwing to for Tampa in practice were all guys that are battling for, like, the fifth and sixth wide receiver spot, the last guys on the roster. So is that important? Maybe, to your point. Maybe that's what's critical here. The Buccaneers defense got a ton of work in. That Buccaneers defense is really good. They're the ones who were challenged. They're the ones that were going back and forth with the Titans offense. It was a great couple of days of practice. I don't know. Like, how many days of practice does Tom Brady really need? I'm with you on the receiving core, but then again, it wasn't all the guys that are going to be starting in the regular season.
Well, that's a big part of it. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, by the way, Braden Gall, Jason Fitz, in for the guys. And, you know, I think that there's a portion of this conversation that is just going to be about, you know, laughing and joking, and also a portion of it that we're going to have to wait and see till we get actual information on what anything means, because right now we just don't know the full extent of why he's been gone or what the whole motivation is on all of it. We've been taking your calls, by the way, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, regarding two things. One, what's the craziest way you've ever heard of somebody getting out of work? Because, you know, good for Brady, presuming he was singing The Masked Singer, which that's the best answer here. He was out singing The Masked Singer. He's going to promo it for Fox. Nobody can tell anybody. Everybody's keeping it private. Like, that's the fun answer here that everybody has a good time with, and hopefully it doesn't have any consequence, although we
and
have
Botox.
No idea if he can sing.
And Botox.
Botox. I do like Botox.
I mean, he's going into the TV world, right? He's going to be on TV soon professionally for like hundreds of millions of dollars. Botox. It's got to be Botox or maybe some hair, getting some hair work done.
Oh, hair plugs. Yeah, getting like, I mean, he's already just sensual looking, though. I can't imagine he feels like he needs any work there. And the Brady conversation also lends to a little bit of the Brady Raiders portion. I said to Braden earlier today that I think that, you know, I know there are Raiders fans that wouldn't have wanted Brady because of the Tuck rule, and that's got people fired up. So, you know, we're taking your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All of this conversation about Brady is simply because of the wild expectations of Brady. Like, I think we have to recalibrate every time we talk about him and understand that success is metered differently for different people. And that's true no matter what you're doing in life. And, you know, Mike Golic Jr. used to always tell me that every locker room understands the guys that get treated different from the moment you walk in. So our concept from the outside looking in of like, oh, well, that's going to divide the locker room, in his and many other former players' opinions is not real. Yeah. Like, guys understand when they walk into the room that somebody else lives a different life. So it's not necessarily about that. But this is all about the fact that we will overanalyze every single bit of what Brady does, because the expectation for him is built around Super Bowls. And anything short of that, and unfortunately, right or wrong for the way we view Brady, anything short of that is viewed as a failure.
Well, and we do this as a society, right, where we just want to meticulously analyze every human angle of your existence when you get to a certain level of star. When you are just a certain level of star, and frankly, we love tearing you down, too. Like, as a country, we will build you up, and then we love tearing you down, and then we really love building you back up again. Like, that's what we do as, like, a society. And I will call garbage. I know there were a lot of Raiders fans in your Menchies over the weekend saying, yeah, I never would have wanted Tom Brady. Like, I think that is so easy for them to say on Twitter when they know it's not a possibility. I just think that is such garbage. If you have a chance to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, I don't believe you. I don't believe anybody that said, like, no, don't give him to me because he beat us in, like, a Super Bowl or in a playoff game in the snow in 2001. Like, I don't buy it.
You're making the biggest mistake in all the sports coverage, brother. You're applying logic to something that is simply emotional, right? Logic. I think most of those people would put their jersey away and yell about it all year until it was Super Bowl Sunday, and then they put on their vintage Raiders jersey and pretend that they were along the entire way. I want you guys to get your calls in, so we're going to take your calls. Plus, there are a couple of offenses Braden has found that are ready to take a step forward this year. The answer might surprise you. We'll tell you about it after we tell you that Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to team up with Hello Alice to support small businesses. Get access to small business resources and learn about small business grants at HelloAlice.com. Feel like I got to bob my head here.
As long as you don't rap, it's fine. Because you did that last segment.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
No, please don't.
I didn't really rap. I just quoted Eminem.
That's fair.
I'm Brady. Nobody else today. Everybody's
going to
talk about
fiddle.
Brady.
You can play the fiddle. I'll listen to that all day.
So you're telling me that you don't like? I'm not the guy you want to maybe bust out some karaoke rap. Probably fair. Got to own it. That's not me. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Braden Gall, Jason Fitz in for the guys. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Look, Braden says that I've lost my mind, but I did ask you guys what Hall of Fame level player you would not want on your team. Sav in Toledo. Sav, talk to me, man. Thanks for calling the show. What you got?
Man, listen, first of all, I have got to disclaim this because you guys will probably hang up on me. But listen, nobody will want to say. Andre Savage in Toledo, Ohio is a person who is sick, beyond white hot sick at the fact that as a lifelong Laker of the Jack Ken Cook era, not before Jerry Buss and the cheese pizzas that used to be in the Forum when I was little. Everybody knows that L.A. head stand up. But listen, man, LeBron James being on the team, it makes my arse hurt that it won't end. And then two more years to think. Because this is what I don't like. And it's not cool. I don't know you gentlemen there. You guys are probably nice guys. Bart and Hahn are cool. I love, can't wait. I love all that. Bart is from the D. I'm in the T. It's all good. But you guys will never say he's accountable. And you give him credit for being the leader of the whole damn thing. But until he starts acting like Magic Johnson for real, because y'all say he's Magic, but he ain't never played like Magic, about everything about it. Y'all act like he's a leader. A leader would have never let his team get put in 10th place like that. I don't give a damn who was on the squad, especially not with Hall of Famers. I don't give a damn how old they are. I know it's not all Russell's fault. Sure, he should learn how to put the ball back in the basket. I don't know when he stopped doing that, but he stopped. But, okay, he can get that back. AD, he can probably eat some better food. The weight room, we think, is a projection on perhaps more games. We got to have him in there. But LeBron James, the fact that you let this get like this, Irvin Johnson is turning over. But he can't. Why? Because it's his damn fault that you're there.
God.
Sad, man. You need a dog, buddy.
Monday at 2 o'clock.
the one thing, like, you say there, Sav, I got to be clear here. Like, you're saying – he's not a leader. I don't really care. Like, I don't really think that it's up to LeBron James to be some magical leader. Like, he's got a bunch of championships, and he has, I think, without question, been the most dominant player in the NBA most of his years. So I don't really care, like, whether the guy gives a good Newt Rockne speech in the locker room or whether people love playing with him. Like, he is capable of getting results more often than not.
So I'm going to draw a comp here to an NFL quarterback, and it's not the same because LeBron is the greatest player of this generation, and Russell Wilson is not the greatest player of this generation, but he's pretty darn good, right? Hall of Famer. They feel like they have similar vibes with fans of those teams in that their image and their portrayal of themselves feels fabricated, right? It's a polished narrative that I've created for outward projection to people to see me. And maybe that just rubs people the wrong way and they don't like that. It feels disingenuous or inauthentic. But what is actually the worst thing that Russell Wilson or, in this case, LeBron James has actually done? Like, aside from the play on the field or on the basketball court, like, what is it that they have done outside of sports that have for so many people not to like them? I don't get that part of it.
Yeah, that is a difficult, you're right. People want authenticity, and sometimes if the authenticity doesn't feel like exactly what someone else thinks it should be, it's amazing how suddenly that becomes inauthentic when that might just be, different. Yeah. Josh in Grand Rapids chiming in on LeBron here. Josh, thanks for calling the show, man. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. How's your guys' afternoon going?
No, great, man.
Going well.
Good, good. Hey, so LeBron was drafted, when I was in middle school. So, when you're in middle school and you first, find a player you really like and it kind of, goes on from there. Well, that was like that, with LeBron for me. And watching him in that playoff series with Boston when he took his headband off at the free throw line and shot that free throw, left-handed. Everyone was saying, oh, he was hurt or whatever. But to me, it seemed like he just, gave up. And so, Kobe Bryant's my all-time favorite, athlete probably of all time, and I never once saw him give up. So watching someone of that caliber kind of give up on their on their team because they were salty that they lost, kind of made me lose respect for him as a player. I really admire all the things that he does off the court and everything, but just as a player, I don't know if I'd want someone on my team that basically gave up the year before and then changed teams to a superstar team. So I feel like that's probably why a lot of people don't. I mean, it's why I don't like LeBron.
Josh, okay. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Brady.
I think it's okay not to like people for certain things. Kevin Durant probably does this to a lot of people, right? Kevin Durant's got this weird kind of personality on Twitter and, all this. You know what I mean? It just sort of rubs people the wrong way, how he behaves and how he acts. And leaving Oklahoma City, then leaving Golden State, and now, I put this team together in Brooklyn, and now it's not good enough because Kyrie's weird. But, that stuff to me doesn't affect if you can win a championship for my favorite team. I just don't care about the weird human idiosyncrasies that you bring to the table. I just don't care. I care more about are you a bad person? Do you do awful things to other humans?
There's that moral compass again, man. That's going to lead you astray in sports, man.
No, I know, but again, this is true of LeBron forever. I think it's because he carefully curated his image when he was 16. He had his team around him. He had his mom. He had this SI cover. The whole deal was carefully curated to be this certain golden boy, the king, right? But I think he's also lived up to that. That's what's crazy about LeBron. He's lived up to the expectation on the court and off of it. And so he threw his headband one time. Steph Curry bites his mouthpiece and shimmies. I think it's great. I don't care. I don't know.
So Braden has a moral compass, as we've talked about. I am too much of a cynical capitalist at times. I believe that money basically tells you everything you need to know about a person, about their popularity particularly. And the concept that people are out on LeBron, this is from Sportico last year, that we should, and this is a year old, but Sportico says that in his career up to that point, LeBron has brought in, as of a year ago, $700 million through endorsements, merchandising, licensing, and media. His endorsements with AT&T, Beat, Blaze Pizza, GMC, PepsiCo, Walmart bring in over $100 million annually, on top of his deal with Nike that brings in over $30 million annually. There's a concept that people don't like LeBron. And all I say is there's a concept people don't like Nickelback, too. But why is it they sell out every damn show? People still go see Nickelback. If people really didn't like LeBron, then he wouldn't get the endorsement deals he gets. But the fact is, companies have realized they make money off LeBron because for every LeBron hater, there's 1,000 LeBron lovers that are just quiet about it. The LeBron haters have gotten very loud. But if he didn't have value, he would not constantly sell these massive endorsement deals.
I think it's very clear that we as a country have terrible taste in music. That is a fact. That's just we've just established that. I think I don't even think that's an opinion anymore. That's just a fact. Tyreek Hill's another example. I'm not trying to
but
go down.
But you're taking bad people. You're taking bad people.
I know, but I'm not trying to go down the moral compass route here. I'm not trying to, but it's the only thing that I can think of that would force me. Again, I grew up as a Knicks fan. I grew up hating Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller. Just despised. They ruined my childhood, Reggie Miller and Michael Jordan. But I can look at Reggie Miller now and be oh, he's a great broadcaster. Seems like a good dude. Seems like a really smart basketball analyst. I can get on board with listening to Reggie Miller talk about my favorite team. And it's fine. It's totally good. But Tyreek Hill, I cannot get away from punching a pregnant girl in the stomach. Like, I just can't get away
again,
from that.
You're on the moral side. I'm talking about fan. Like, look, no fans have had worse time of late than Jets fans. Chris in Long Island. Chris, chime in on this because I see what Chris is calling about. Chris, what do you got? Tell me, would you want Brady on your beloved J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets?
Listen, it's more so like I can't stand hearing these Raiders fans say they wouldn't want Brady.
I know.
He's going to deal with one freaking game. One game. I'm 26. Not only when my season's over after Brady's beating us, he's in every freaking Super Bowl. Do you understand what it would be like if he came through after roasting my Jets for 20 years, making fun of us on the internet, and then he came through and won a title? You know how much that would not be enjoyable for me? Get over it, you Raiders fans. He cheated. He cheats on everybody. I've had to deal with it my whole freaking life. He can't be a Jet. I hate Brady. I would do things that would get me arrested to Brady. I hate the guy.
If
today you found out that the Jets could acquire Tom Brady, would you root for him behind center?
What I would root for is a pick, Brady to throw a pick every drive, and then the Jets get a pick six every play, and that's how we win.
That's a tough way to live.
Chris, I thought I had a drinking problem on Sundays. If that's my reality, Woodson Whiskey are going to go down the wrong hole.
New York Jets fans. And everyone else, if Tom Brady is starting in the Super Bowl for your favorite team, you are lying to yourself if you're telling me you're not going to root for it. You're lying. Yeah. You're just lying.
I'm not going to have to worry about it because the Raiders will go to the Super Bowl this year with current quarterback. All right. I'm living in a dream world. Maybe the Giants fan base can live in a little bit better dream today. They got some big news coming out that's huge, and it's positive for the Giants. Take a sigh of relief. We'll tell you what it is next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Braden Gall, Jason Fitz filling in. Don't cut me off!
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. I'm not going to cut off the fiddle in that, obviously. Jason Fitz, Braden Gall hanging out. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This song has a fatal flaw. I'll tell you what it is in a second, but first I have to tell you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Look, Charlie Daniels, wonderful human being. I think there was a fatal flaw to the song, though. Anybody that knows the song knows clearly that the Devil solo was cooler. Not a little bit cooler, a lot cooler. Like, the Devil won. We want to give it to Johnny, but Johnny's solo, nowhere, like, the music's not as cool, the solo's not as cool. Like, the Devil is the part that everybody goes nuts for when you're walking up and down Lower Broad and having too many drinks. Like, the Devil won the solo. Well, I don't know how we're, like, instant replay didn't exist back then, but if it did, the Devil would get the cup.
Let's go to VAR on the fiddle solo. But isn't that more, reality, though? Like, doesn't the Devil have more fun on Lower Broadway anyway?
That's probably.
Shouldn't the Devil win the fiddle? I feel like the Devil should win the fiddle solo. I'm never pro Devil. I'm not rooting for the Devil. I'm just saying, probably a better solo player.
Did you see the Garth Brooks Saturday Night Live years ago where he decided he was going to sell his soul to the devil in order to write a hit song? And then Will Ferrell was the devil and kept writing like these terrible songs. Yes. He was like, this is harder than you think it is.
Like in the apartment complex.
Yes,
100%. The little loft apartment. He's like, this is terrible. You're a bad songwriter.
The devil lost that day, but the devil definitely won, and the devil went down to Georgia. Giants fans won today. Per Adam Schefter, initial tests have revealed that Giants defensive end Kayvon Thibodeau suffered a sprained MCL, expected to sideline him 3 to 4 weeks, per a source. ACL, meniscus are intact. That's huge news. The Giants are hopeful he'll be ready for the regular season opener against the Titans, per a source. Titans, a team that Braden obviously knows well and works in the Nashville market around. So, obviously, if you're the Titans, you're looking at it and saying, okay, well, Kayvon could be on the field. I think in a matchup like that, it's going to make a big difference right out of the gate if he's capable of playing and if he's capable of being all of himself.
Yeah, I think the Titans will go into that game a pretty heavy favorite, so I'm not sure. You know, with an injury like that, it certainly is going to make things a little bit easier on a Titans offensive line. That is the major question. Derrick Henry making his return to the regular season, of course, and then Ryan Tannehill and everything. I do think the Titans team is being slept on a little bit. I'm far more interested in Daniel Jones and what's happening with the quarterback situation. I'm a big believer in Brian Daboll. I think he has a really great mind for how to use an athlete's skills and strengths. And this goes for every coordinator. I don't love coordinators and head coaches who like have their set thing that they want to do and are not willing to be open-minded and evolve with the talent that they have. And I think while Daniel Jones is not anywhere in the same stratosphere as Josh Allen, so don't get at me here on Twitter, that's not what I'm suggesting, but they have similar makeups in terms of their size and speed, right? 6'4", 6'5", 230 pounds, can run a little bit. Can they use him the same way? And the reason I'm interested in that is not just because they have a huge decision to make at the end of the year, but it's because all quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, Tua in Miami, and Daniel Jones, like they are playing for that $100 million contract or $80 million contract, or in Tua's case or Jalen Hurts' case, maybe a $200 million contract. That to me is real life human element of like I could set my family up for generations or I could get cut at the end of the year. Like that is what Daniel Jones is facing, and that, I don't know how there's not a like, is there a more dramatic story with two different endings than Daniel Jones this year?
Well, and to that end, you think about Josh Allen, and remember the conversations that were out there after year one of Josh Allen's career, and it was not accurate enough, was a reach, the Bills shouldn't have taken him. They isolated themselves from all the noise, and they developed him the right way, Daboll being a big part of that, right? So you've got to think about what the process is going to be, but the difference is they had 4 years with the fifth-year option to figure out Josh Allen. He walks into a situation now where they're going to have to figure out who they've got at quarterback in 1 year. And as we alluded to earlier, in a year where next year's draft class is already getting all sorts of hype, and you never know how that's going to play out. But certainly it feels like Daniel Jones has got to keep the Wolves at bay. He's got to develop in this system. He's got to show them everything they need to be willing to bank on him in 1 year under this coaching staff. Like, there's a ton of pressure on Daniel Jones to see what he can develop into, and also a ton of pressure on Daboll to figure out quickly what he has at quarterback, as opposed to the process of, hey, this is our guy, we've invested in him, we're going to give it 3 years if we need to.
Now, in some senses, if you're Brian Daboll, that could actually be a benefit. You can kind of go into the season a little bit looser, right? Because you're going to challenge Daniel Jones. You're going to find out exactly where his limits are. You're going to put him to the test. And by all accounts, the talent level is up for the Giants. Saquon Barkley has looked spectacular. You got two really dynamic, speedy weapons with Kadarius Toney and Wandell Robinson. They're going to feature those guys in a lot of different ways and be super creative. We know Daboll is not scared to like use up his weapons, right? Like that's what he did in Buffalo. I think it's kind of gives him a chance to be a little bit more, I don't want to say like free and loose with the quarterback, but it does allow him to sort of push the envelope a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to give you as much as you can take here, Daniel Jones. And if you answer the call and you answer the bell, we might be looking at a second contract because now I'm the reason that you're good, right? Because it's not that different than Sam Darnold for the Jets. Like, he wasn't given a fair shake, really. I'm not suggesting Daniel Jones is great or anything, but, like, the organization, the front office, the coordinator, the offense, the scheme, the offensive line, the injuries, like, was it really a true and accurate portrayal of who he is? I think this is going to be the truest Daniel Jones we see is with Brian Daboll.
Well, and this isn't going to be the only New England team that's keeping a look, keeping a close eye, I should say, on the quarterback position. Obviously, the Jets are going to have to figure out what to do now with Joe Flacco. I don't know the right approach, because, like, certainly you could want Flacco to get reps over the course of the last couple of weeks, but not knowing where Zach Wilson's health is going to be, I wonder if you just put Flacco in bubble wrap and make sure that he orders in and never actually touches any human being between now and the beginning of the regular season, so you don't start behind the eight ball.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, are the Jets? We've already talked about this. We joked early. Like, there's 13 teams in the AFC that could make the playoffs, and like the Jets aren't one of them. So honestly, what is it that you're scared of here? Because if all you're doing is keeping the seat warm for a couple of weeks until Zach Wilson comes back, which, by the way, the fact that you have to have a procedure on the same knee that you hurt last year that kept you out for a few games, like, that's scary to me. That's sort of like Matt Stafford's arm. Like, we're not talking about it enough, you know. And I think that's a little weird, but they've put a ton of weapons around him, just like the Giants. They've upgraded the talent around that particular player. Let's see what it looks like, because there's a lot of guys on that team that can make plays. So I want to see them get reps with Flacco. I'm not as worried about Flacco getting hurt, because I don't think a win-loss record is your priority this year, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think the Jets have a better shot at the first overall pick in the NFL draft than they do at the playoffs. But they do play the Falcons tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Atlanta favored by 3.5 for all of you preseason eyeballers on that sort of action. Falcons, Jets, we'll see a little bit of what Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder look like for the Falcons as well. Check that tonight on ESPN. All right, you guys have just absolutely slammed the phones. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of you have decided on big-name players, Hall of Fame-level players you will not accept on your team. We'll let you guys take over the show, get in some of your calls, plus a little bit of a Subway Series action breakdown here from our own Braden Gall, Mets fan. No bias at all, I'm sure. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, Braden Gall, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys.
Bart and Hahn.
Braden Gall, Jason Fitz filling in. We were just in the break talking about the Subway Series about to start. Braden's a big Mets fan, and Braden asked the room the question. You start watching, because, you know, if you've never listened to Braden before, big Mets fan, but like many of us, he's going through that stage that most of us go in our fandom where you realize at some point that maybe it's better for the team when you don't watch, right? So, like, you're not watching at this point, and the Mets are crushing it, but you got to watch now. With the Subway Series, here's my logic, Braden. If you watch now, what's the worst that happens? They lose a game or two to the Yankees? Okay.
Oh, my God.
You can compartmentalize that. But as opposed to waiting to the playoffs and then having to figure out if you're allowed to watch a playoff game, or you could pause it, you could record it, shut off all your devices, let the action actually finish, and then watch it afterwards, unless you believe the karma gods know that you've done that.
You honestly just don't know what it's like to be a Mets fan if you think the worst thing that can happen is that they lose a game or two. Like,
no,
Scherzer and DeGrom are going. It's arguably the best 1-2 punch that they've ever had, including Harvey and Syndergaard. And I'm going to go all the way back to Tom Seaver for you. But here's the deal. Like, honestly, the worst thing that could happen is the New York Mets losing, like, 32 straight games, and they fall out of the division race. The Braves are already hotter right now. They just lost 3 out of 4. Like, again, if I start watching tonight, they are going to lose. And I know it's completely irrational and stupid for me to think that I have some sort of control over the outcome of the game or the health of Jacob DeGrom. But if I start watching, his arm is going to fall off, and all of Mets fans, all of Queens, can blame me personally.
No, for buying in.
I've seen it. My heart has been broken too many times. When they clinch, Fitzy, when they clinch a spot in the playoffs, that is when I will start watching.
No, see, this is but there's nothing irrational, by the way, about your thinking. Obviously, you watching does have an impact. My thing is, I mean, that's obvious. We all know that. I used to always say that I wasn't superstitious, just a little stitious on the bus, and then I'd be like, oh, I have no superstition on a tour bus, and I'd move to a different seat, and then like 20 minutes later, game's not going well. I'd be like, well, I just want to move back to the other seat because it was more comfortable. We all know, like, these things matter, right? My thing is that you'd rather dip your toe in the Subway Series than dip your toe in the playoffs. Because you don't want to get to the playoffs not knowing if you're allowed to watch or not. Like,
no,
then
no,
what are you going to do? Go on a World Series run?
No, I'm watching the playoffs. So here's the thing. Like, once they make the playoffs, they've clinched a spot.
Mets fans may not like that.
I get to watch because my nerves don't change. Like, I'm already at 11, right? I'm turned up to 11 with the nerve endings. Whether they win or lose, I'm already there. So, like, nothing can affect my life. It's already going to be just this crazy ball of nerves. There's still a chance they might miss the playoffs, Fitzy. That's what's crazy. Yeah, so I can't watch.
Missing the playoffs is better than losing in the playoffs when you watch him. We'll keep breaking this down now with everybody else's help. He's not superstitious. He's just a little stitious. Braden Gall, Jason Fitz, we're in for the guys, Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Braden's a big Mets fan. We were just having this debate as we were in break. Braden trying to figure out, like, you know, look, we've all been there. Braden knows the Mets win when he doesn't watch. So can he watch this series? But Braden, I keep going back to, if you're going to test the theory, you should test it now.
I agree. Right? This is a good chance to dip the toe with Scherzer and DeGrom against the Yankees. Like, I agree. It's also where complete tragedy could happen. Now, and I'm torn.
I mean, what happens when you get to the World Series? What's the World Series?
Oh, I'm not. Well, the Mets closer will give up a home run to Alex Gordon, of course. But like, that's a different story for a different time. Or Armando Benitez will balk in a run. It's fine. It's whatever. But I've let it go. It's clearly fine. I'm clearly okay. Swing the bat, Carlos Beltran. Okay, just please swing the bat. The only reason they're in first place, I'm convinced, is because I'm not watching them. That's it. Like, full stop. I don't have anything
that's
else.
That's very sick, Braden.
I know
very
it is. Sick. I recognize, I'm self-aware of how
Renee,
sick I
are
am.
Renee, are you telling me you've never had one of these moments? I think every fan has had a season where you're like, we're better when I don't watch. I've got to find a way for the team to not watch.
Yeah, but I always find a way to watch it. You know, I'll tell myself, damn, they won three in a row. Maybe I should
How many World Series have you watched?
The Yankees win. That I can remember, probably three.
Okay, and how many did they win before you started doing that? Maybe you are the reason the Yankees don't win the World Series anymore.
Were you watching when Luis Gonzalez was at the plate? That's the question.
Yes.
Okay, all right. That one probably hurt a little bit.
That one hurt. Yeah. That one hurt, for sure.
Look, I Braden, I feel what you feel. Like, we've all been there. I would hate to think. You think you can just rip the Band-Aid off and start watching, but you know if you start tuning in and like somewhere in the playoffs and they start playing poorly all of a sudden, you're going to convince yourself you can't watch. But what if you were to tape the game? I mean, you have kids. Like, go hang out with the kids, right?
VHS,
after the kids fall asleep. Old school. You're the one person. Man, those things on eBay. Boy, they're making a racket on VHS machines. So you tape it, and then you go back and watch it afterwards. Do the karma gods know that?
I don't think you can trick the gods, man. I don't think you can trick the gods. They know everything. Here's the thing. Here's what I could do, though. Like, during the game, I could just watch over and over and over again Bartolo Colon hitting a home run against San Diego a couple of years ago. I could just watch that. Or I could watch highlights of, like, the 2015 series run. Until they play the Royals, maybe. I don't know.
Would listening on the radio change it up for you? Because you're not actually physically watching the game at that point.
Right, that's a good call,
Renee.
Oh,
that's a nice technicality in the contract with the devil. That's a good one. I don't know, guys. Do we have a ruling on that? Am I allowed to listen?
I don't know, but I think this is the sort of technicality that could really, like, it could serve you well. This feels like the right thing. And you're right. Like, Braden and I used to always try to break down what each of the sports god looks like the hockey god, the football god. The karma god is the worst of all of them because the karma god's got nothing good for anybody. They're just waiting until somebody's having a little joy, and then they sprinkle a big old poop sandwich all over it.
Like, that is 100%. It's all about avoiding the poop sandwich, Fitzy. That's what it is. I've spent the entire season trying to avoid that sandwich, and that is why so far I have avoided it. I've never had a that type of sandwich served to me, and I have not watched any Mets baseball, and they are in first place, and all of this, I'm convinced, is connected together.
Yeah, if you never go into the kitchen to get a snack, you'll never have to have a poop sandwich, but what do you do when what's coming out of there just smells perfect? Eventually, you get real hungry, Braden. You'd rather get real hungry now than in the playoffs.
I disagree. Here's the thing. If Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer's limbs are still attached to their bodies when the series starts, I'm all in, baby. I'm all in. I'm feeling good about game one. I'm feeling good about game two. I'm feeling good about finding some rest and getting to that third starter, maybe going back to Scherzer in game four. Like, I'm feeling good about all that. But they have to have all of their limbs still attached to their bodies when the series starts for me to believe. I need a clinch. I need a little, when I go to ESPN.com, I need that little X next to the NYM. I need that little tiny X that says clinched. That's what I need.
See, this is where your fandom rises. Like, Braden covers so much college football so incredibly well. But does that ever impact your fandom of how you watch everything, or can you just sort of piece all of that? You've been covering it so long, like, it feels like you just have a really good job of separating all of that.
No, I'm dead inside when I watch college football. No, I love college football as a whole, so I can watch everything. I watch every game, every team, every conference. I love all of it. But now, the thing that gets me out of my chair is like a kick six. You got to have something, a Hail Mary, something spectacular, something crazy for me to get out of my chair. I will be out of my chair. If I watch the Mets tonight, I would be walking around the house, and my children would be asking if I was okay. That's I'm trying to take that out of my life, Fitzy.
I was at the first ever game with fans in Allegiant Stadium. I was there for the Ravens-Raiders dramatic win. And I stood the entire game because of the way the positioning worked out. So then I became very convinced as the Raiders opened their season that the important thing was that I did not sit. So every Sunday I found a place to stand by the TV for 3 hours straight and just pace around while I watch the Raiders. So believe me, like when the Raiders finally lost, it was like, okay, my legs could use a little break every Sunday. I get to sit down and enjoy a snack.
Now, out of the other side of my mouth, I will say that if they lose to the Yankees with Scherzer and DeGrom on the mound, it was obviously not my fault.
Well, or it was just like the karma god saying I questioned them too much.
Yeah,
the karma god
exactly.
serving you that poop sandwich for just hanging out with me. That's the sort of thing that can only happen here. Hey, he's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Stick around. ESPN Radio got you covered all day long. Thanks for hanging out with us for this this fun.
It's all about avoiding the poop sandwich.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.